Amen. So I'm going to be speaking to you today on Philippians 1 from verse 19 to 30. And I'm titling this one, To Live is Christ. And this is part of our Philippians series, looking at the book of Philippians. And the lovely Angela is going to be reading from 19 to 30.
Okay. So it says, For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
Amen. Amen. Right, well, let's give Angela a round of applause, guys. Amen. Such beautiful reading there. Just want to pause for a sec. Sephra, did we press record? Yes. Give Sephra a round of applause as well. She stepped up today. She didn't last minute, so it was always encouraging. And sorry, Seth, we've only done that so I can grab my cup of water. So, amen, amen. Wow. So today, the words that Angela just read there are some of the most memorable words in the entire Bible, especially when it comes to Paul. But I think that when we read scripture, we often forget and fail to reflect on the significant meaning of Philippians 1:21. Now, this verse is so powerful. It's so powerful, and it shouldn't just be a verse that we memorize week in, week out. But it should be a rally cry for believers of Jesus, followers of Jesus, where it's a decision that we make to let Christ be magnified in our bodies, whether by life or by death. And in that, it leads to joy. And in these circumstances, Paul says that for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, Paul is saying there that regardless of whatever happens to me, whether he continues to live or his life ends, his life revolves around Jesus. His entire life revolves around Jesus and Jesus' work on the cross. And Paul recognized what Christ had done for him and gladly chose to serve him. And if he were to die in that service, then so be it. Paul was ready to die. It was done. And he knew that death was not the end. In fact, it would be better for him to die, because in death he would be with Jesus physically. That was the end goal. This was the ultimate prize for Paul, to be with Jesus. So while he was on earth, he was committed to living for Christ, but he knew that when he died, he would be with Christ. In other words, no matter what happens, Paul wins. It's like, I live, I do Christ's will. I die, I'll be with Christ. It's a win-win for me. That was Paul's life. And if we're honest, many people today have lost sight of that. Some of us today are living for different things and not for Christ. Some of us are living for money. Some of us are living for status. Some of us are living for career and our job. Some of us are living for family. Some of us are living for social media and happiness. And some of us are living for power. Some of us are living for things that we've settled for that are actually less than God. And the meaning of Philippians 1:21 reminds us that it is Jesus who should be the center of our life, that we shouldn't hang on too tightly to the things of this world, because they're only going to fade away and let us down, but Jesus never will. And as believers and followers of Jesus, as Christians, we should never forget this. For the world and for many, death is the end. That's it. You die, that's it. But there's no hope there, is there? But in the Christian faith, we have hope. The Christians, we take a radically different approach to this. And Paul did. He held on to the hope found in the promise of Jesus. And it was in that hope that allowed Paul to endure his suffering and challenging circumstances. And we too can endure and face them in our lives today. Whatever we face up in our life, whatever challenges and circumstances we come across, we can face them boldly just by focusing on Jesus. So the meaning of Philippians 1:21 reminds followers that of Jesus that we cannot lose. Imagine going onto the football pitch and playing football, thinking, right, if we really work hard, we can really win. Like when you're with Jesus, it don't matter. You could never lose. Imagine entering into a competition. It's like, it don't matter. I'm with Jesus. I'm not going to lose. Imagine facing a judge. It's like, it don't matter. I'm with Jesus. I'm not going to lose. With Jesus, we have hope. And it's kind of like a simple math sum. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. To live is Christ, to die is gain, meaning applies to all followers of Jesus. I want to touch on 3 points today. We're going to talk about to live is Christ, we're going to talk about joy in adversity, and that one verse I do love in it, that walk worthy of the gospel. So living for Christ, let's start off with the facts. Living for Christ is not easy. It's not easy. It's not all sunshines and rainbows. Paul's life was not easy. And because of his decision to follow Jesus, he faced many hardships. And he ultimately died on the cross for his beliefs. So if we decide to live for Christ, we too are going to face hardships and challenges in life. I'm sorry if that weren't on the description when you accepted Jesus. Like, it's not all sunshines and rainbows. But that is the truth. You will go through hardships. And that's the reason that Jesus tells us, in order for us to follow him, we need to pick up our cross. Some Christians falsely claim that the difficulties we face are from a lack of faith. If we just had that little bit more faith, we wouldn't face hardships. Probably the biggest lie in Christianity. It's not because of lack of faith you face hardships. It's because of your faith you face hardships. But that's not what Jesus promised us, is it? Living for Christ is not going to be easy, but it's better than anything else that we could live for. It's better than anything else that we could live for. And this is what Paul discovered. Why he had give up his life, he chose to give up his life, he found something even better. He found peace, he found joy, he found hope in a God who gave him unconditional love. And he found a life of meaning. Nowhere else can that be found despite many searching for it in this world. Many of us find meaning in so many different things. We find it in relationships, we find it in work, we find it in sex, we find it in so many different areas in life. But to live for Christ means that we will experience a meaningful and impactful life, and it means that we can find that peace, that joy, that satisfaction, that hope. And that's not dependent on our circumstances. Or in short, you can say to live for Christ is better than anything else or anyone else that we could live for. And also, death is not the end. To live for Christ means death is not the end, but the beginning. The reality is one day in our life, earth is going to end. Earth is going to end. And for many, that's a terrifying thought. Many choose to simply pretend that that day is coming. But followers of Jesus don't need to live in fear or pretend it's not going to happen to them. Rather, we can hold on to the hope of spending eternity with our Creator and Lord and Savior in heaven. Amen? Death isn't the end, but it's the beginning. And when we lose this life, we're going to gain an even better one with Christ. And if we want that joy-filled life, we need to give our life away. There it comes from giving your life away. Joy comes from simply saying, you know what, I'm no longer going to live for the Arsenal. I'm no longer going to live for Friday night. I'm no longer going to live for that. You know, even some of us here have aspirations of marriage and kids and a big family. I'm not going to live for that anymore. I give that up. Giving yourself away is giving up all of your desires and your beliefs and what you want to do and putting it into other people and serving other people like Jesus did. It comes from serving and giving your life away. And until we understand this, we're always going to be struggling to be happy in life. Joy comes from self-sacrifice, not self-gratification. And the Apostle Paul could say that he's happy because even in the darkest times of his life, he was giving his life away to help others. Can we say that about ourselves? Can we say that I'm happy in life because I am giving my life to other people? I'm giving my life to Jesus. Paul needed to be happy. He had to stay focused on his problems, on his purpose and not his problems. And he sums up his purpose in Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What are the good things that you focused on your life that are not your ultimate purpose? Or how would you fill up a gap? If you had a sentence, right, the sentence says, for me to live is, how would you fill the blank in at the end? For me to live is money. For me to live is my career. For me to live is fame. For me to live is my social identity. For me to live is something that came to my heart, a hero's lifestyle. I need to be the one that solves people's problems. Maybe there's someone here, I don't know, they're just coming to my mind there. But, you know, maybe it's entertainment, maybe it's sports, maybe it's shopping, maybe it's family, friends, or a career. You could fill that blank in with pretty much anything. You can pretty much fill it in with things that are maybe not bad, things that are good in themselves, but nothing deserves that place other than Jesus. So however you fill in that blank will determine how happy you are in life. And if we do answer it with money, success, and power, and pleasure, we're going to be unhappy most of our life. And the issue is, or the issue isn't whether that's because like those things are bad or wrong in those in our lives, but it's not that. It's the fact that they don't deserve that place in our life. You aren't created to just make a bunch of money and then die and then have it given away and that's it. You were created for a purpose in your life. I remember growing up, it was always seeing my family home, my mum, my dad, my brothers, my mum and dad would work. They work hard. We're a working class family. We're a working class background. But my mum and dad worked hard. They held down two jobs and we knew that we were a working class family for two reasons. Number one, we didn't eat avocados. And secondly, I love that. Secondly, we didn't go on holiday like twice a year. We didn't go on skiing holidays. Our holidays consisted of a caravan for a week. Like, you know, that was it. And that's where we come from. Like, it was a different mindset, but I'm not going to go into that today. But anyway, so that was our lifestyle. And I grew up with this idea of perfection, of like, you know what, that's the desire, is to have a wife, a kids, a family home, work hard and just crack on. And that's what I would be living for. And I'd always live for it until I come to Jesus, but I'd always have that working mindset. And I sometimes used to come in here and used to think like, okay, I just want to give myself away and give myself to God. I used to come to morning setup and I used to think to myself, like, in setting up like everything in the morning with the team, I used to think like, oh, mate, this is an early start. This is the only day I could actually get a lay-in from the busy week at work. It's like, does anyone even care that we're setting up the church? Right? Does anyone even care that we're here this time in the morning? But the reality is it didn't matter because the presence of God was there. God was in the midst of it all. And it's in serving him and giving up my time and giving up my desires that God showed up and gave me a purpose. Even in football, I used to live, it doesn't matter what team you support, but if you're not Arsenal, then, like, you know, you're not welcome here. But anyway, I used to live for football. I used to keep up with the fixtures, the transfers, the stats of players and everything like that. I used to make sure I was in the pub and beering it up, watching the game. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether we win or lose, I'm going to beer it up anyway. And it's like, yes, come on, this is what it's all about. Arsenal, all the way, football, yeah. God, what pain that was. Oh, my life revolved around it. My life, don't get me wrong, I still follow the Arsenal now. Like, not mad as what I used to do. Like, you keep up with a little bit, you know, but in reality, it was something that controlled my life and something I built my life about, but it was something that didn't give me a purpose. It's something that didn't fulfill me, and it was certainly something that actually wasn't blessing anyone else. I wasn't happy in it. So I chose to give up the arsenal. I chose to be here on a Sunday to serve and just be with God. That's the most important thing. Now, what are some of the specific ways that you need to give yourself away in service to others? And there's only one answer what leads to happiness is to live as Christ. And to get the life you really want, we need to give our lives away. Amen? Amen. My second point, joy in adversity. Like I said, the Christian life ain't easy. And in life, things fall apart. And when life's falling apart, we try and work it out for ourselves. We try and fix it. We try and sort it out. But the reality is we're not supposed to try and work it out for ourselves. We have to let God put the pieces back together. And in facing our problem, we've got many options to face. I'd say the top two would be either that we can worship and praise God through it, or we can worry and let it stress us out. That's it. That's what Faith Factory is all about. And Paul says in Philippians 1 that we just read out from verse 18 to 19, he says, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. In that one scripture passage right there, Paul reveals several sources of strength for staying positive and happy in life, and staying positive and happy through tough times and tough circumstances. The first one is we have to get God's perspective in life. There's a word that Angela and Bea brought today, and there's a rebirth. In other words, God wants to show you things. He wants you to look through life through his perspective. And that's exactly what Paul had. Paul says, for I know. In other words, it's what we know that keeps us going. Paul knew his God. Paul knows that God is working in the midst of his struggles, and he keeps God's bigger perspective of his life, that he keeps his focus on that, and that sees him past his problems. Secondly, Paul has people praying for him, and that keeps him going. Knowing that you have the support of other believers is like having wind in your sails when you're out sailing on a boat. It keeps you from giving up. And then he says, the Spirit of Jesus helps me. The Holy Spirit also keeps Paul from going. And the same Spirit that keeps Paul going is that same Spirit that lives inside of us. It's that Holy Spirit. It's that Spirit from Jesus. And finally, he says, this will lead to my deliverance. Paul has faith that God's going to work out his problems regardless of what he faces. Paul has so much faith in God that no matter what bills comes his way, no matter what persecution comes his way, no matter what things he faces in life, God's going to sort it out for the good. That is Paul's perspective. But he also wants to see us growing in faith and showing that we can believe that he can do it in our lives too. Do you believe that God can work miracles in your life? Do you believe that whatever circumstances and situations and problems that you're facing in your life, do you truly believe that God will work it out for the good? Have you got God's perspective in your life? Or is it that we need to stop living the pigeon life and start living life like eagles and soaring high and seeing things from the perspective of God? Amen? I don't know where that pigeon analogy comes from. But yeah. Paul did this because he had God's perspective. He had prayer from friends. He had the Holy Spirit and faith. And Paul chose that no matter what he faced, he's going to continue to be joyful in adversity. And we need to make the choice to rejoice today. Think of a problem that you're experiencing right now in your life. How have you seen God work in your life during that problem? Or maybe, are you actually looking at that problem from the right perspective? Are you looking at it from God's perspective? Well, what is it you're expecting God to do in and through you because of that experience? Or where have you grown in your faith because of the past experiences that you've gone through when you've seen God work in your life? And also, where are we believing and trusting in God to do something amazing in our life, work out our problems, work out our circumstances for the good? And my last point, a walk worthy of the gospel. Now, Paul, I believe that this is the most important part. To live is Christ and to die is gain. That's nice. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, we know that the gospel is the ultimate truth in life. We know that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of our life. He's the only one that deserves first place in our life. But really and truly, when we look at that in the application way, is our life reflecting our walk worthy of the gospel? Paul urges his Philippians church to live out a life that reflects the gospel of Christ. Specifically, he wants to see that they work together in harmony and in cooperation in their ministry, and not to be divided or frightened that enemies are going to come and bring persecution. But the fact that anyone opposes them means that actually they're honoring God with their walk, they're honoring God with their life. So in other words, if you're not being persecuted or opposed because of your faith, are you actually walking a life that is worthy of the gospel? The Philippians have been given the privilege of suffering for Christ just as Paul has suffered. And it's like a badge of honor that we suffer with Christ. For it means that we're going to receive rewards and blessings in the next life and a fulfilling life of faith in the present. And Paul admonishes this Philippians church to only conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And Paul will tell them in chapter 2 next week on exactly how we're going to do that. We're going to hear from three very special people on that. But Jesus chose that when he left heaven to come to earth, he chose to show us how to live a life worthy of the gospel. And he also gave us the Spirit to help us do it as well. So if you want to live a life, walk your life worthy of the gospel, then we need to start focusing on the purpose of your life. You need to start focusing on the purpose that God has placed in your life, and don't worry about the problems that you face. Don't worry about the circumstances you're in, and don't worry about persecution. Those maybe look like mountains, but your God is bigger than them mountains. And it's your purpose in life that brings you a life full of joy. In Philippians 1, from verse 22 to 25, it says, "If by continuing to live I can do more worthwhile work, then I am not sure which I should choose. I am pulling in two different directions. I want very much to leave this life and to be with Christ, which is far better thing. But for your sake, it is much important for me that I remain alive, and I am sure of this. And so I know that I will stay, and I will stay on with you all to add to your progress and joy in the faith." That's from verse 22. So when we stay focused on God, when we stay focused on our purpose in life instead of our problems, we can have joy. Even when your life seems to be falling apart, even when the cost of living crisis is becoming ridiculous, even when we don't even know what Parliament are doing, we don't even know when our next paycheck's coming from, we don't know what our employers are up to. When things are going crazy in life, when our circumstances are just too much, we can focus on our purpose in life, and that will bring us joy. And it doesn't matter what bills we face, it will never take away the joy that Christ has placed in your heart. And in this passage, Paul is an old man at this point. He's an old man, and he's in prison in Rome. He's far away from his homeland. He's awaiting execution. And everything has been taken away from him, his friends, his freedom, his ministry, and even his privacy. He's chained to a guard 24/7. But in the midst of all of that, even though it's not a happy time for Paul, there's one thing that could not take away Paul's joy, and that was his purpose. Paul makes the choice to stay focused on his purpose even when he has lost everything else. And Paul's purpose was the same purpose as us. Love God, love people, serve God, serve people. That was his purpose. The blessing is we're not chained up in prison to a guard 24/7. We can't totally control what other people do to us in life, or we can't control the actions of other people around us. But we can control how we respond in life. We can control how we respond to situations and circumstances. We can choose to serve others even when we're hurting, and even when sometimes we feel like they don't deserve it. We can choose to serve others out of love. We can choose to forgive others even when we think they don't deserve it, even when we think that they did wrong. Why do I need to forgive? No, we choose to forgive others because Christ forgave us first. We can choose to focus on God's promises and not our circumstances. And those are the kind of choices that will lead to a greater faith. And in our faith will produce great joy. And I'll tell you a quick story. About seven, 8 years ago now, it was a massive setback in my life. It was a real setback. I went through a whole year of just persecution, of just setbacks in desires of my life. My job was taken away from me. My finances were taken away from me. Friends and family were straying away. I was losing relationships. Everything, I was in a deep depression. I was drinking again. And it was a real hard time 7 years ago. I lost everything. And it was a setback in my life which took my focus off my purpose for God. And it was something that really, you know what? Even though I was alone, I felt like Paul. I felt like I was in prison. I felt like I was just chained to a God 24/7. And that God came in the form of alcohol or depression or anxiety. And I remember having this mad setback where I even questioned it. Like, how am I in this position? Like, I'm serving God. I've given up my life for God. How am I in this position, man? It doesn't make sense. Like, and God, where are you? I'm asking God, why is my work going through this? Like, I haven't done anything wrong. Like, why am I being persecuted and sacked on these grounds? Like, God, are you even listening to me? Has anyone been in that dark place where they're crying out to God and can't hear God's voice? Yeah? Do you know the book of Esther was written in the Bible, but it's the only book in the Bible that doesn't feature God? How can God not be in the midst of a story where his people are being saved? Sometimes God ain't there, but he's working when you can't see him. And in the midst of all that, though, I couldn't see it. And there was this setback to the point where I just didn't want to come to church anymore. I didn't want to follow Jesus anymore. I didn't want to see people anymore. It was a real hard and troubling time. And I just remember just slowly releasing everything to God. And I remember, like, we had people around us sort of just, Sam, what's going on? Are you all right? You know, some people come up with different sort of aspects. Some people come up with a gentle sort of motherly, sisterly approach. Are you all right? Like, what? Come on, what's going on? Like, come on, we've got you. It's all right. Or you've got the auntie approach going, come on, stiff up a lip. Come on, we can do this. And you know what? Both of those aspects are great in my life. Sometimes you need the gentle approach. Sometimes you need that tough love as well. And I do remember the one thing that got me out of it was, first and foremost, recognizing my purpose in Christ and that God had something so much better for me. He blessed me with more friends. He blessed me with better relationships. He blessed me with a better job. He blessed me with much bigger purpose in life. And also as well, he showed me that I'm not alone and there are people in my life that love me and that encourage me. And we are part of this amazing community called church. And I just remember coming into church and I remember sitting down with Cecilia and Adrian. I know on occasion, I remember sitting down with Clive and Debbie as well. I remember Angela coming over and giving me encouragement. And they just said, I'm not here to tell you off and I'm not here to have a cone. Like, yeah, I want to know what's going on and why you're not here. Like, this is not where you're meant to be. God wants you in a higher place, but I'm just here to listen and pray. Just unload. What's wrong? Tell me what's happening. And it's just nice to be part of a family that you can do that with. And also nice to be part of a family, knowing that even when you're not seeing them, they are praying for you. They are encouraging you and they are behind you all the way. And that's exactly what Paul says in that verse when he says, I thank you, keep praying for me and I'm praying for you. And that's exactly what it's all about. If you want to really live in the purpose of God, if you really want to get through persecution and struggles, if you really want to live a life full of joy, we need people around us. It's God's people that help to build us up and help us to focus on God. Philippians 1:19 says, because you are praying for me and the Spirit of Jesus is helping me, I know that this trouble will bring my freedom. And maybe you're experiencing setbacks right now. And your most common response to a setback is, I'm going to withdraw. I'm going to give up. I'm going to build a wall around me. No one's coming into my sanctuary now. If you're in, then you're in the circle, but you're trusted. That's why not everyone gets into that. Maybe you're pushing people away because I've been hurt so many times. I just can't trust you. No, I do it by myself. It's better on my own. Maybe you're in a situation where you just can't open up and you're putting on this brave face and going, yeah, I'm good. How are you? We're really inside, you're like, you don't understand what's going on. We need God's people. Because when setbacks leave our faith weak, when setbacks bring us down, we need people to trust God for us. We need a church family to support us. When you look at the story of Job, Job lost everything. He lost his family, his finances, his health. It was a devastating setback for him, just as it would have been for anyone, but Here's what one of Job's friends told him in John 36 from verse 18. He said, "Don't let your anger and the pain that you endure make you sneer at God. Others have praised God for what he has done, so join with them." When you're in the midst of your troubles, even though that sounds hard to take in, that's probably the best advice that you can give a friend or a brother or sister in Christ. Don't get bitter, but join with others who can pray with you and worship with you and support you. And where do you find that kind of support? You find it in a local church. You find it here. You find it home. We are a place where we get to encourage, build up, and just love you through it. You know what? Look around you. Not everyone's life is perfect. We're all going through struggles. It's nice to know that we've got people around us that can help us carry the load, eh? And we're supposed to worship together through it. The Bible says, put on a garment of praise. When you're in the darkest days, put on a garment of praise. Worship with other people through your setbacks. Gain a new perspective. Secondly, get involved. Get involved. We've got life groups. We've got discipleship. If you're not discipling someone, you're missing out on a great purpose in life. Disciple someone. Get involved and start serving. Give your life away. We need to have people around us. We need a group where people gather to worship, study the Bible. But it's not just about studying the Bible and speaking like you're the greatest theologian of all time. It's also about being vulnerable and saying, you know what, this is what the scripture says, but I'm struggling with this. It's where we share our struggles. It's where we share our pain and we pray through it together. If you want to have a comeback in life, you're not going to be able to do that on your own. We need people around us to help us do it. And gathering with others is a huge step forward for that. It's important to be together on a Sunday in family.